Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Namaste, and welcome for those of you who are listening to this show. This is Susanna Ron, your host, and this is my fourth show. There will be a hiatus until August because of transitions, and that's actually the topic I'm going to talk about tonight, about transitions and how yoga can help you pass through transitions, such as the loss of a parent, or even a child getting married, or becoming a grandparent, or becoming ill, and how to cope with getting well. And that's kind of where I am. About seven months ago, I was introduced to a parasite that has been plaguing me, and it really has taken over my life. But in that process, over the last 7-8 months, I have found yoga to be a gift, allowing me to maintain my calm and non-react as these parasites grew 50 to 1 every 9 days. This is a terrible epidemic in some areas. We don't know exactly what kind of mite it is, because to me, I think it's a super mite. But the point is, it has caused me to reflect on my life and what direction I need to take. So I will be taking a hiatus until August as I regroup. I'm reformatting my yoga teacher training program. And I'm also going to be speaking about how to eradicate mites. I have a website that hasn't gone up yet, but it's called Mites All Gone. And in it, I describe how to get mites out of your eyes, out of your ears, to prevent scarring in your face, because I know there's a lot of people out there who have them, and everybody has them, as a matter of fact. We're born, we acquire them sometime after birth. And usually around puberty, you see them in acne, you know, because of the sebaceous glands. They live off the sebaceous glands. And then they quiet down unless you're under stress or if you're ill. And so most people who experience this don't know what to do. You go on the internet and you hear stories, horror stories, or people are shut-ins, or because what happens is if the mites overgrow, then they can wreak havoc and take over your life. And that's actually, so basically in the last 7 months, what I've been able to do is use this as an opportunity to figure out how to kill them, how to get rid of them, so, and to help other people. And this has kind of been my thing, because many of you who don't know me don't really know my background. I came into yoga after about 20-some years of teaching fitness and breaking my body down, ending up with an allergic reaction to amoxicillin, and then having 6 rounds of meningitis, which each 3 times took about 13 weeks of my life. So I recovered from that, figuring out that it was the amoxicillin, and never again have I had the aseptic meningitis. But after that, I was given a diagnosis of MS because they saw lesions on my brain. And I knew it was an allergic reaction to high fructose corn syrup. So, of course, I eliminated that. I didn't really have it in my diet anyway, and that's how I knew, because I had eaten a gelato and had almost a seizure, basically. Anyway, so I recovered from MS. I was able to, actually, my neurologist fired me. So yoga has always been a part. So I got into yoga just after my MS diagnosis. Because, I had been actually teaching. I was introduced when I was 12 years old. My mother took me to a Shivananda yoga class, Sally Rosen, the first and only teacher in Detroit for many, many years. And, of course, I loved it standing on my head because that was fun. But I didn't like the Shavasana part. So I stayed, through the course, but, I didn't return to it until obviously much later. when I was broken down and had all these kind of maladies and said, I got to check out this yoga stuff because I'm really breaking down here and this is ridiculous. So that's really how I turned to yoga and found the what was necessary for the body to basically regenerate itself. And that has been proven. Harvard proved that, basically published in April 2013. You know, yoga changes your DNA. It's your ability to remain calm and non-reactive in the face of great sensation. So you can use this in any part of your life, especially when you lose a parent or even a child, when you are so grief-stricken or in pain that you need to tune in and focus in and let go and use these tools. So during my last 7 months of getting these mites out of my head, I found myself bent over a sink. And if I let my tailbone tuck under, my back began to hurt. In fact, I began to lose flexibility in my back. So I had, now back bends are very important to keep the flexibility in your back. But I found that I had to, again, use the yoga postures, you know, Ardha Uttanasana or Utkatasana, chair posture. That was very, very helpful. So I look at the universe as giving me these opportunities so that I can go and help other people. Because in addition to the MS, I didn't mention that I also had 6 herniated discs and was in pain plus a dislocated SI joint. And it was my great fortune that I was able to study with the late Mukunda Stiles. I was in awe of him when I saw him standing on the stage at the SITAR, the first symposium for yoga therapy research, 2005. Anyway, on stage, I said, I want to study with him. And I had the good fortune of studying with him. And he changed my life because he taught me things that took me out of pain so that I personally experienced the healing effect of the joint freeing series, the sacroiliac series, the carpal tunnel series, the shoulder girdle series, everything, the lumbar, the knee, everything he taught me, I've taken into my classes and I've taken to my personal practice and also into my private sessions with my clients and watched the healing take place. You know, the allowance of prana. I was talking to my sister about, she's just discovered yoga, and she can't believe how great it makes her feel. And she said, did you release endorphins? And basically, you're releasing prana. Prana gets stuck in tension. And when you release it through a yoga practice, it's a little, sometimes it could be uncomfortable, but if you allow yourself to let go and experience the sensations without reacting, then you become more equilibrious. You have more of an equal balance mind, neither liking or disliking. And that is a very pleasant experience, letting go and finding that silence, that balance. So this is another reason why acquiring a yoga practice is very important for each and every one of us. It keeps us young. And learning how to do, one of my students, she just left for Colorado, 83. She was even doing dolphin on her forearms with her hips lifted to the sky. So that, I mean, it doesn't matter. My mother, at post-hospital, she had a horrendous experience at the hospital where they tore her esophagus. We saved her so many times. Amazing, using essential oils and also just being there and catching the hospital's mistakes. But she, even after that, returned to this dolphin, and she had really weak shoulders. So when I described that in class one day, then everybody did it. And that's when you take a chance, when you allow yourself to experience something new, and not assigning any information to it, just observing it, witnessing it, stepping back and just noticing. So that's what I found myself doing in this whole thing with the mites, because it occupies, since they grow so fast and they wreak havoc, and I saw what they did to people, I figured out what I needed to do to stop them. After, of course, the fact sometimes, because this is all new to me, new education, and I learned how to use duct tape. I've got pictures of me with duct tape to prevent them from coming on my face and my eyes. And I have all the other secrets, such as using the clay. The bentonite clay is amazing. It pulls them out. Anyway, witnessing, everybody around me was freaking out because I was spending so much time. It became my job. In fact, I was told to take a medical leave because I looked horrendous in November, you know. But anyway, I had a very, very short education, you know. So here I was. Now I had time, all my time to myself, and I needed to get rid of these mites, and that was actually November. So I shaved my head, something that I had just long, wavy hair. That was my pride and joy. So giving that up, and they did such damage to the hair anyway that it was worse to have it.
Susanna?
What happens? They it's like it snows.
Susanna, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Now I can't hear you.
Okay. You were cutting in and there out for a second. Sorry. But we can hear you.
I'm sorry. All right. So you can hear me now.
Correct.
All right, good. Anyway, so what I discovered was in my process, the process of learning what to do, I found I was using my yoga. My husband came in one night and asked me why, he heard me breathing. And so he knows the Ujjayi Pranayama. But he never really listened to me breathe in. So anyway, I was using the Ujjayi Pranayama, which is the aspirant sounding breath. Focusing. You have to focus because some of this time it's not very comfortable. You know, sometimes you can get rid of them when they're dead and other times when they're alive. So that's a little more tricky and a little bit more uncomfortable. And that's where the yoga practice came in for me. So I look at this opportunity as the universe giving me another thing to teach people that I went through it. This is, because I learned how to, I almost lost my eyesight. It came down into my eyes. I took a medication that was for this, Western medicine, ivermectin. It was a little heavy dose. About 3 or 4 days later, it drove them into my eyes. And then my corneas were so scratched or so scarred or what, so had biofilm all over them, because that's what they do. Anywhere they go, they create this biofilm. That my vision went to 2200, 2400 over instead of 2030, and my corneas were so scratched that the doctor and had ulcers. The doctor, he was very afraid. The doctor that I went to, the ophthalmologist, said he sent me to a specialist the next day. But from that day, Thursday, I saw my physician, and he gave me a high dose of vitamin C, and I went home and put ghee in my eyes, because he said I had an ulcer, in addition to the terrible scarred corneas, like a chemical burn, he said. And the next day, I went to see the specialist, And the specialist looked in my eyes and said, there's no ulcer here. You healed them, you know, in one day. I mean, and I said, yeah, it was the vitamin C, it was the ghee, and I also used the fire infrared sauna. It was hard to tell which one was the one that had the most vary, but I know the vitamin C in corneas. You know, and of course, the ghee is very nutritious, you know, with all its full panel of essential fatty acids. It's the highest quality food substance on the planet, so says Dr. Saraswati Berman, one of my teachers, one of my great teachers, founder of RIMYA, of the Rocky Mountain Institute of Yoga and Ayurveda in Colorado, in Boulder, Colorado. So using the breath, staying observant, and witnessing. So I witnessed, I went to the ashram in November. I wanted to see Snatan Kaur. I was all excited because she's one of my, I use her music a lot. She's beautiful and I've seen her before. And I just love her. Her tone is just so angelic. And I was excited that Satvir Khalsa was going to be there. And he's one of the presenters with Rajan with the Life in Yoga, Western Medicine Model, Yoga Therapy, that they put together a program for the American Medical Association, and he's one of the presenters. So I was very excited to be at the ashram with him. And then also the Swami, you know, and ask questions and talk about the Yoga Sutras, you know, because I did teach the Yoga Sutras, and I wanted to, you know, just talk with him about it. But cute little tent on the second floor of this deck covered, it was a covered deck, and on the second floor I had the corner, outside corner, I had a great space, beautiful, and I could hear the chanting at night. I could hear, it was just beautiful. I could also hear the cruise ships, but anyway. So unfortunately the humidity wreaked havoc with the mites. I had gone there hoping that I could work on with use my Ayurveda and talk to them about Ayurveda and see if we could come up with something and use this, the water. But the weather was so humid that I could not stay there. The first night, the mites came down to my face, and I freaked out because I'd seen pictures on the, you know, people with scars on their faces. And so, but I only freaked out for a half a second because I remembered that I had duct tape. Of course, I brought my duct tape with me. Don't go anywhere without it. The duct tape actually stopped them from living very quickly. So they didn't have a chance to, you know, implant anything. I just suffocated them. I wore duct tape at night. And then I didn't go to the morning practice. And I would stay when I keep the duct tape on because I wanted to keep on as long as possible. And then I went out and walked around, but I did have some white bandages. And I did a beautiful class in making yantras. I made a yantra, the Ganesh yantra, which the Ganesh is the deity of overcoming obstacles, the son of Shakti and Shiva, who was mistakenly beheaded by his father, who didn't go that easy. Last time. So anyway, the ashram was it was beautiful. However, the humidity was awful, and I wore the duct tape. Finally, I went out one day with it, and it was, you know, I mean, it was okay. I mean, people knew that I had a situation, you know, because I was wearing my head was shaved, and I was wearing a turban all the time. And then they saw white tape on my face, and then I said, who cares? I'm going to put silver duct tape on my face. I'm going out there. It's going across my nose, down my cheeks, over my eyebrows, whatever, wherever they came. I'm putting the duct tape. But I still had my my turban on, so I mean, you didn't see that much duct tape, but you know, I had it on my neck, and I couldn't disguise it. And I guess it scared the natives, the Bahamians who lived there, who actually were the housekeepers, and I ended up having to leave. So I left the ashram, and I said, I need to go someplace else. I need to go where I can really heal. And that was the Dead Sea. I went to Israel, and luckily my two daughters are living there, And I got to meet my one daughter's boyfriend. I got to see the parents of, you know, my daughter's husband's parents. And anyway, so in the Dead Sea, it's dry. Nothing lives, but it was a little too intense. And But I figured out, of course, the importance of certain things like bentonite clay, which I knew. And I was able to really still maintain somewhat my program until I came home and used the bentonite clay almost. I mean, I'm going through a lot, but it takes a lot to chisel away at these layers like I was describing. You can't just shovel a mound of ice and snow built up in layers. You have to chip away at it. And that's what I've been doing with the diatomaceous earth. And there's a product called Clean, which is amylase, protease, and lipase. And using the castor oil and the tea tree around the eyes so that they can't get there. You know, I mean, it's too slippery for them if they're trying to, you know, somehow get there and they can't. Anyway, the point is that the universe gave me a gift, and that gift is learning how to help people get rid of the Demodex mites. So that's really what I was, you know, I'm going to be focusing on that. So I will not have a show until I said August. I'll be regrouping my yoga teacher training program, aligning it with making sure that my coursework, and I've got some new teachers to work with. So the September program is the next program offering, and that will be the Ashtanga primary series, along with anatomy, and then the second semester would be the art of vinyasa, art and science of vinyasa, and that would be putting together flows that make sense, that flow from one posture to the next posture, that have a therapeutic value as well as a nice, pleasing, choreographic aspect to it, where you feel like you're flowing from one breath to the next. So teaching people how to cue that and how to put together posture. ...100 hours offered, actually a year from now, about a year from March of next year will be the Art and Science of Vinyasa. So that said, if there's anybody out there who would like to talk about how yoga has helped them through their problems, to their situations, I'd love to hear from you. Okay. Well, I can tell you that from the perspective of grief, I have been able to remain more calm and non-reactive, and I think it must be because of my yoga practice. My mother passed away, it'll be 2 years in May, and I was able to, I knew that we could lose her, and I knew when I knew that she was going to die, I observed that. I wasn't all broken up. I had made peace with it. I understood that she was transitioning to another existence, and her duty or job, her what she was here for, her dharma, she had fulfilled. And that's how I look at death, is that we die when we're supposed to die, not a day before. You know, if only we did blah, 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 or such and such. No.
Shagana?
So, yes.
We actually do have a caller who would like to share their experiences about yoga.
Okay, I'd love to hear that.
I'd like to welcome Jay calling from Canada. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Yes, thanks so much for allowing me to be part of the show. Thank you.
Hi, Jay.
Yes, is this Susan? I'm speaking to
Susanna. Yes, yes.
Susanna. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. I feel yoga is a really important in our spiritual development. I feel that we're always missing. I'm always feeling that we're missing one part. And spiritualists go through this. We only can go so far as to maybe affirm it out or you know, meditation is really, really helpful too. But also, we just can't do a quick meditation and it's gone. It does take some time, and the time is always depending, well, it's really kind of dependent on our willingness and also our how much stores we have in our body and things like that. But I feel
how
that
much what in our body?
How many stores we have in our body that we accumulate.
You know, okay, you're talking
right?
about...
So, because our DNA records everything that we've done, basically, in our lifetime. Just to say that it's my yoga experience right now is I'm learning the five elements of Kali Tantra yoga, which is really, really cool. And it's working with...
What? Of the five elements of...
Kali Tantra yoga.
Oh, Kali Tantra.
And I've been working with the different elements. I'm into the water element right now, and that's about
living. What are you doing with it? How do you
right now
work with it? Yeah.
I'm actually working with kidneys right now, so we're doing asanas in that specific area.
Uh-huh.
The last 40 days, it's 40-day modules, and the last 40 days
at
Earth, there's 40 days. So basically it's... it was the first element was earth, and that was dealing
uh-huh.
with being solid with earth, being
mm-hmm.
How would you call it?
Rooted.
Grounded, basically rooted. Yeah. So that was pretty
yeah.
cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds yeah. wonderful.
Yeah, it's been really, really helpful, and just working with the elements. But also, you know, one thing that I find with yoga too that it does stir up some obstructions up. So you can actually work with the movements to kind of like get them out of your body system and release
yes.
them that way too.
Yes, absolutely. Letting go, crying on the mat, feeling releases, you know, feeling the physical, emotional, mental all at the same time, spiritual even at the same time. I like the elements from the Ayurvedic perspective, understanding the relationship between the all five elements, space and air, fire, water, water and earth, and the different personalities. Have you studied any of that, and does it equate at all to anything that you're doing?
No, I haven't. I haven't studied anything like that right now. I'm just working
mm-hmm.
with the different elements of what the nectar is of that element and also the liberation, the obstructions that are with that element too.
Mm-hmm. So you went from the earth element. Did you do squats? Or seated.
We did all those other wonderful things because we were working actually with the first element with earth. We were working with the stomach, spleen, and liver. And this is the kidneys. So working with the kidneys. And I find that this, the earth
really
element is really
that liver, they
technical.
Put liver in earth.
Yeah.
With earth we would have put in the Ayurvedic perspective, it's in the bowels. It's the lower, it's the anus. You know?
That's interesting.
Yeah. And elimination is what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm getting rid of the solid waste. You know, it's Tamasic. It's inert.
I'm just saying the organs that we worked with actually are just looking up here. It was stomach, pancreas, and spleen. That's what we're working with. So we didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, that area that So who put this together?
Oh, so my yoga teacher's been studying from a teacher in Italy. So basically it was, I decided to take it actually. It wasn't online. It's basically a 7-month intensive course actually. A sudden course. And it has to do with the emotional element.
Well, you might change your perspective if you study Ayurveda. Just because a little bit. I mean, you can keep the knowledge, but the grouping of the organs that you said really doesn't equate that well with Ayurveda.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that it's a different perspective. So keep the knowledge. And even, you know, Dave, everybody has their way, and there's knowledge, and it sounds very fascinating, really, and brilliant. But I mean, I'd like to know the philosophy behind putting the grouping of those organs together. But anyway. You know, whatever the liver would be a stomach would be a fire element in Ayurveda. So it's a you know, and the lungs are air, in space. The brain is space also, and so it's, yeah, it's different. The anus would be, of course, elimination. It goes with the earth element. It goes with the anamaya kosha, which is the food layer, the food sheath.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got anamaya kosha. Measure, when we measure electrophotonic imaging, we measure the flow of prana through the different organ systems, through the meridians. And, of course, you know, Chinese medicine has their elements, too.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, it's very it's interesting to learn into you know, I guess it's, you know, who is right, I don't know, because in Chinese medicine the heart is not in it's air, and I think it's fire, and it's air in Ayurveda. So you know, it doesn't always equate. So I'd like to, you know, I understand the air element because it's touch, it's sensation, it's love, it's closeness, it's caress, you know, the air, when like the air caresses your face, you know, soft wind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, I mean, to me it makes sense that but I understand about the fire because of the pranagni, the flame of existence, which is more of the esoteric aspect. So I can see both.
Yeah, the air has to do with lungs, and water has to do with kidneys, like I said. Space has to do with heart, and fire is with liver. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. All right, well, you know, space has to do with heart. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
And you said, what was the other one? The lung is air. I can see that,
Yeah. So, yeah, we're working with that. We're working with the Vana Vayus with it, so...
Oh, okay. All right. There you go.
That's it.
Well, then it does equate.
Yeah.
Prana values. Good. Right. Right. Respiration, you know, that would be the prana in and the, yes. Right.
Yeah, we're doing that.
The air or the, right. But I'm talking about, I guess I meant the chakra. I didn't really mean that, you know, the heart. Yeah, the heart chakra.
Yeah.
Space is the throat because that, the vocal cords.
Oh. Okay, in Ayurveda.
You know, without space, the vocal cords can't make a sound. So that's why and it's also the top end of the physical body that we can measure using the electrophotonic imaging. Basically, it's a Kirlian photography in a box.
Mm.
And it's and you put your finger against a glass panel that evokes a charge that displaces gas particles, which is, you know, read on a spectrograph or whatever, you know, color panel, and that's your aura. And it shows it equates to the, it's parsed out in wedges. I have it on my website. There's a picture. And it's parsed out in wedges so that for different body parts. So you can get a measurement off the thumb and know where it goes to, or the index fingers. And if there's a block in the flow of prana, it tells you what organs are affected, and that's where we apply the, you know, the application of the yoga therapy, whether it's, you know, whatever, even a mantra, you know, removing obstacles. So, do you have a personal practice?
Oh, just the yoga right now, that and meditation. So,
what kind of yoga practice is it?
Well, it's actually yoga with a practice, but it's actually hatha yoga. So, but like I said, the more asana is geared towards those organs, so you can actually
I get it. Oh, I guess you're getting flows that are, yes. Well, good. So, where are you in Canada?
I'm in Western Canada.
Western. Oh, very nice. What part? Vancouver.
No, Alberta.
Alberta. Still, it's lovely and mountainous up there. Yes.
Oh, yes, it is. Well, we're far away from us, but
So, well, I've never been there. One of these days I will make it to, because I've heard how beautiful all of Canada is. Living in Michigan, I've gone up to, of course, Toronto, of course, and we'd love to go to the Barrie area, you know, that Lake Muskoka.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, it's a fun ride on that boat. So we've been there, Collinwood, a few times. You know, I love the Wasaga Beach, the longest beach in the world, isn't it? I think, or Lake Huron, whatever. I know that it's one of, I think it is one of the longest in the world, continuous, whatever. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I love Canada, but we used to hike up on the Upper Peninsula. We'd go up to the Canadian side of it, of Lake Superior, and hike up the trail, and it's just beautiful, you know, lovely. So my kids wanted to be Canadian. So, yeah. Yeah, now they're Israelis. They're living in Israel. And they're very, very proud to be there. So, anyway. So, Jay, it's been great talking to you. Is there anything else that you would like to contribute?
No, we're good. So thanks so much for letting me be part of the show and sharing my story.
Oh, I love it. You can call in any time and keep telling us what you're doing, you know. You can come and educate us. How'd you like that? Actually, okay. I'm not going to be around for the next couple of weeks, a couple of months, because as I said, I wanted to regroup redo the program.
Mm-hmm.
And also focus on this mite business, because it, you know, learning how to do it and helping people, obviously it dropped into my lap. You know, and I'm the type of person that, you know, I follow what the universe gives me. You know, that's how I operate. So,
awesome.
So anyway, Jay, thank you so much for calling in. I really, 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 really appreciate it, and I hope to hear from you again. Okay.
Yes. So, thank you much, and Om Shanti. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Namaste.
Okay. Namaste.
So that was very nice. To have Jay call in. If there's anybody else out there that would like to contribute, I'd love to hear from you, you know, to let me know your experiences. I could talk about some of my students' experiences, but I'd love it if they talked about their experiences. I also teach at the sports club in Novi, and I took this medical leave to take care of this mite issue. And I just went back, and of course my schedule has changed and people are kind of up in arms. But, you know, it gives me an opportunity to meet new people in different classes, and hopefully I'll be able to pick up some more classes, like a yoga Pilates on a Sunday. That would be nice. And then also the vinyasa. I love teaching the vinyasas, and I love challenging my students. I like teaching also the healthy backs. I mean, people coming in with injuries, you know. I mean, helping them heal. That's what I love to do, help people heal. So, when I went to a psychic back in, she gave me a lot of information, in 1995, she told me I was a healer. And I laughed. I said, no, I'm not. I teach fitness. I teach spinning and yoga. I teach aerobics, low impact, high impact, step aerobics, whatever. I'm not a healer. I'm a fitness teacher. She said, no, you're a healer. So I fell into this, becoming a wounded healer. So I think wounded healers make the best healers, because you've been there. You know, I mean, it's, you know, people, for instance, like who counsel people in drug addiction, who've never had a drug addiction, to me it's ridiculous, because you've never been there. You wouldn't know, you know, the experience, what it really is. You can tell somebody from a book, but unless you've been there, you really can't know. So experiencing a yoga practice and learning from that experience, observing, witnessing, even if it's just sitting in a chair, closing your eyes, and just observing your breath. You know, it's all you have to do is to connect to yourself, because yoga is the yoking of the mind, the body, the spirit, turning your mind inward, quieting your mind, shutting your mind off. And focusing it, even if you only did that for a second or 2 seconds, it's a good start, because you build upon that. And once you're accustomed to that letting go, you can keep that with you when, you know, as you go throughout your day and try to remain calm and non-reactive. Now, we all not always can do that. And illness is a way of putting us under stress, and so, you know, people, we have to be mindful of people who have had illness, You might be a little bit challenged emotionally, be a little bit less balanced. But for the most part, if you practice witnessing, observing, then you become calmer, more at peace. And our true essence is bliss. Our true essence is Sat Chit Ananda, truth, intelligence, and bliss. This is who we are. This is our true nature. This is our essence. Sat Chit Ananda, truth, otherwise also known as existence. Sat means truth or existence. The fact that we exist, the laws of truth for us to come into existence, because we just didn't happen. There had to be laws that governed us coming into existence. So that is truth. That's Dharma, the laws of the universe. Intelligence, the mind field, the chitta, the universal mind field that we are all a part of. We are always connected to this universal mind field, each and every one of us, always. And then the bliss, just joy, pure joy. That is love, joy and love, peace. These are all bliss. This is what we are when we go to that quiet space in meditation, or just even just being a moment of joy, a moment of peace. So we are Sat Chit Ananda. And I always end my classes saying, I bow to and honor that in myself and each of you. And if we look at people from that perspective, that we're really deep down inside, underneath the clothes, I love that song, underneath these, anyway, deep down inside, we are this essence of truth, intelligence, and love. And then, of course, we got the rest of us, the rest of the koshas piled up on top of it, the physical body, the anamaya kosha, the pranic body, the electromagnetic energy body, the pranamaya kosha. Then we've got the mind, the emotions in the mind, the manamaya kosha. And we have our intellect and our intuition, our reasoning, the jnanamaya kosha.
Susanna, we can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you again.
Okay, I'm sorry. For how long have you not heard? How far should I go back? Okay, anyway, I was talking about Sat Chit Ananda and us being truth, existence, and love, always being connected and seeing that in other people. And since studying Ayurveda and the five elements and looking at people from that perspective, it helps to understand why people are anxious or have anxiety, or why people tend to have a fiery personality, or why people tend to be kind of slow and jolly or just, you know, hanging out just there. So you understand their personalities from the Vata Pitta Kapha perspective. And, it gives them more room to be themselves and for you not to say, why are you like that? Because you understand why they're like that, because you understand what their dosha is. Now, I talk about the doshas, and last week we had a Q&A, but the week before I talked about the dosha test. It's on my website, and you can find out what your dosha is. That is pretty exhaustive. That was kind of refined. That was from Saraswati Berman, a pretty exhaustive test. So I figured she knows what she's doing, so I kept her test above others. So we've got that test, and then also I picked up from my training with Deanna Batdorf. Deanna founded the Deanna Center for Health and Healing or Education. She changed the name, so I don't. Deanna Center. It's in Sebastopol, California. And she's a marvelous Ayurvedic teacher. She taught me about essential oils and Ayurveda and how the, you know, the use, of course, the five elements. It was included in our, just anyway. Yeah, she also, you know, taught me about ghee, which is what one of the things that I used on my eyes to heal them, to heal the corneas. Clarified butter. It's very easy to make. You can buy, you know, you can, Rajan says you can cook any kind of butter, even if it has salt in it, because you're cooking off the impurities. You take the butter and you put it, you know, a pound or two, I make 2 pounds, in a pan that's at least 3 inches deep, maybe 4 inches deep. And you put it on high, you boil it, and then you bring, once it's boiled for 15 minutes, it's a long time, but you have to watch it and chant, Om Gam Ganapataye Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. You chant that over and over so that you're imbuing in the ghee the power of the overcoming obstacles, so that it's a very powerful food. Very powerful. For my eyes, you can make a ghee ring. You fill the ghee ring. With ghee, and you massage the eyelids up and down, getting all of the gunk out of the eyes. And this technique that Deanna taught us is what I used to heal the corneas. So, as I said before, the universe brought this to me because I had learned what to do. The essential oils that I learned from Deanna. Using, you know, and understanding and having the essential oils, because I wanted to learn about them and use them, and it gave me an opportunity to find out what essential oils work better than others for, you know, for the mites. So the gift of this situation and how I was ready for it and how I was able to observe that I was ready for it. And I'm observing, I'm taking a step now and I'm observing my life and I'm saying, I need to step back and I need to do this. So if there's anybody out there who has any, who's been suffering from mites, you have, still have a little more time in the show, you know, for you, but I know people are embarrassed. We don't have to know who you are, you're anonymous. But I can show you, I can tell you, and I will have that going on soon. Mites All Gone on that website. That will be, it's not made yet, so it's going to have a under construction sign, or not, or just don't appear until it appears. It all depends on the mites. And I am so close to them being completely eradicated that that's why I was able to talk about it today, because I've been wanting to talk about it. I just didn't have the complete understanding of what I needed to do to get rid of them. And the tapas it takes. Tapas is one of the niyamas, one of the Ashtanga eight limbs. The niyamas are self-observances. Tapas is discipline. It's discipline. It's fortitude. It's the burning desire to keep doing what you're doing, to keep you going. To have the tapas to go hour after hour, day after day, 10 hours a day, scraping these things, or chasing after them. The first month and a half when I had long hair, which I used as a beard, by the way, you know, because I had, you know, one had fallen onto my neck or my shoulder, and my hair was long, so it covered it up. I did put a Band-Aid on, but it covered up. So that was my beard. So I was fighting those mites with long hair until they, you know, wreaked havoc with my hair. And I said, hey, they're making me bald. This looks terrible. I'm going to have to shave it. And so I messed around with that until November, you know. Well, it still looked good in October. So I was still able to carry it off. But I was fighting this war, this above war with the hair mites, unknowing that underneath the scalp there were different kind of mites. One was a folliculorum and the other one was the brevis. The brevis are the tiny little ones, and they were making terrible progress in my scalp. So it wasn't until I shaved my head in November that I realized the extent of my problem. And it wasn't, and I've been, you know, and then so it's taken since then, and then going to the ashram and figuring out what worked, the bentonite clay with neem powder looks great. And then, so it wasn't until I came back, and it was December, when I really began to put this thing together. And today I kind of finished the last piece of it using the rid fork. Well, it looks like a fork, but it has like 10 tongs real close to each other. And using that with the clay, with my hair has grown a little bit. I've shaved it like 5 times already. And it has to be a certain length in order to do this technique. But you put the, which is maybe a quarter of an inch long, you put the clay on, you wet the head, and you put dry clay over the top of it, and they immediately pop up. And it also, you know, helps to remove the biofilm, which I spoke about before. And then you use this scraper tool, and it just scrapes it off, and it scrapes off the eggs and any mites that are there, but you have to keep doing it because, like I said, it is layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. I cannot tell you how many layers. Shocking. I look in the mirror and I'd say, oh my God, this continues? So it's been, I have worked diligently at this from December 3rd or the 4th until January 4th. Then I changed when I went to Israel. I wanted to use the Dead Sea salt, which was pretty intense, and the sulfur that was also very intense. This particular hotel had the Dead Sea water in their swimming pool, so you didn't even have to go out to the Dead Sea. You could stay indoors and around because they had their saunas and their steam and their Turkish bath and all in the same place. It was very nice. They also had, you could hang around in your bathrobe and slippers and sit in this living room area with, you know, they'd serve you tea and cookies, tea and crumpets. So it was very nice. So that was from the January 5th to the, then I saw my daughter's 15th, and I came back. So I missed a few days of this exact treatment. But now that I came back at the end of the middle of January, and from then until now, I've been working diligently, hour, day after day, hour after hour, and that's tapas. And it also, like I said, it takes the ability to not react, just to keep focused, to keep your breath, to let the mind be quiet. So, very easy thing you can do to practice this. You can lie in your bed or lie on the floor if you're, you know, you have space on the floor, and lie down and bring your feet together with your knees apart. And if that bothers your inner thighs, then you can put like a pillow under each knee so that you can really relax and open up your hips and still have that support. And then place your palms on your low belly with your elbows on the floor or on your bed. And your hands don't have to stay together, but ideally, your thumbs would touch at your belly button and your index fingers would touch at the pubic bone. And if you wanted to keep that and your elbows and your hands pulled apart when you dropped your elbows, you can also put pillows under your elbows. So you're totally supported. And then close your eyes and just begin to observe your breath. And just observe the breath first through the more gross element, the earth element, the stomach, the rise and fall of the belly beneath your hands. Inhaling, the belly expands. Exhaling, the belly releases. And you just observe that and just notice the length, and you see if you can slowly begin to elongate the breath to maybe twice or even three times your natural breath if you're really relaxed and practiced. Your inhalations can be three times your natural breath, your exhalations equal to the inhalation. But if you happen to have an acidic body, then your exhalations would be longer because that's more alkalizing. Longer exhales than inhales. Even inhales and exhales is good for mind balance. Longer exhales is good for getting rid of the lactic acid. Makes you more alkaline. So continue just observing your belly rise on the inhale and fall back down on the exhale. And once you get accustomed to that rhythm in your breath and your belly, then bring your awareness to your nostrils and just observe the breath passing through your nostrils. It's a smaller area, so a little bit more defined, more focused. So you're focusing the mind. And just observe the breath passing in and out the nostrils. This is called Anapanasati, and that's what the Buddha used. He didn't do any other fancy kind of meditations, or mantras even. He just observed the breath passing through his nostrils. Very simple, don't need anything. And just observe. Thoughts may come and go. Just keep your mind coming back to the sensation of the breath passing through the nostrils, not letting one breath go by unnoticed. Breathing in and breathing out. And if you suffer from insomnia, you can practice this breath and this posture, the feet together, knees apart, hands on the low belly, and Yoni Mudra, the Mudra of Source, which draws the thought waves down out of the head. Many of us have insomnia where our mind doesn't quit. This will quit the mind. Lying in Supta Baddha Konasana, reclining bound angle. Palms face down, thumbs at the belly button, index fingers at the pubic bone. Elbows resting on the floor or on pillows, if you want to keep your hands together. And just breathing through the nose and observing your breath. And if you have insomnia and if you stay in this posture, if you use tapas, determination to stay, you will go to sleep. It will happen. You just have to be true, to observe, to witness. And even if you go into that twilight, which is a wonderful place to be, is because this is when you can impart good messages to yourself. You know, I am good, I am kind, I am smart, or I can, or whatever affirmation that you want. That's a wonderful time to do that affirmation. But that's only if you haven't fallen asleep, because if you practice this posture, Supta Baddha Konasana, and yet with Yoni Mudra at the navel and pubic bone, and you observe your breath, you will go to sleep. Breathing long, slow, steady breath in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Continue observing. Focus. Allow. Receive. Be. exist. Truth. Intelligence. Bliss. Namaste.